Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Your Schofield Bible, page 1234. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, beginning with the 14th verse. We'll read responsively through verse 18. And as is our custom, let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and let's finish together, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege we have tonight. We're thankful for the opportunities afforded us here at this great church. Thank you for the 6 o'clock hour when we got to hear our brother Angel Carrion. Thank you for the work that's going on there. But thank you for the great work here. And we're, of course, constantly in the midst of it here. And it's a wonderful thing. But help us to be able to appreciate it like we should and to do our part as we should. Grant your blessing and your power upon this very hour and upon our preacher very especially so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Verse number 14, I want you to notice it as I read. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now what does that mean? That means like two oxen or two horses are in a yoke pulling the same load. It says God's people, listen to me, are not supposed to be in the same yoke with unbelievers. That does not mean we're supposed to be unkind to unbelievers. It means we're not supposed to be in the same yoke doing the same work with unbelievers. That's the first thing. We're supposed to be separated from unbelievers. Now look on down. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That's the second thing. Please put your pens up now. I want you just to follow me carefully and look at your Bible. That's the second thing, unrighteousness. What does that mean? That means you're not supposed to do things that are wrong. It means you're supposed to pay your debts. It means you're supposed to be punctual. It means you're supposed to give 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. It means you're not supposed to break the laws of God. You're supposed to live the best you can, a righteous, holy life. It means you're not supposed to drink liquor. It means you're not supposed to smoke cigarettes. It means you're not supposed to go to the movies and watch the whores and whoremongers and harlots from Hollywood. It means you're not supposed to lay around on a beach two-thirds naked. It means that you're not supposed to, you're supposed to separate yourself from unrighteousness. And by the way, don't get mad yet. You'll kill me after a while. And what communion hath light with darkness? That's the third thing. We're to separate ourselves from unbelievers. We're to separate ourselves from unrighteousness. We're to separate ourselves from darkness. What does that mean? That's the opposite of light. That means that we're not supposed to yoke together with those that preach heresy, those that don't preach the truth. And then the fourth thing, what concord hath Christ with Belial? That word Belial there means worthlessness. It means laziness. It means folks that are loafers. Folks that don't work for a living, folks that want the government to pay them their, and not hold down a job. It means we're supposed to be separated from them. All right, it says we're not to be yoked up with unbelievers. We're not to be yoked up with unrighteousness. We're not to be yoked up with darkness. We're not yoked up with Belial. That's laziness, uselessness. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? The word infidel is the same word we use for infidelity. It means unfaithful. Unpredictable, dishonest people. We're not supposed to yoke up with them. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now, idols meaning false religion, anything other than the true and the living God. And we're not supposed to yoke up with those that are wrong on this Bible, the King James Bible. We're not supposed to yoke up with those that are wrong on the plan of salvation. We're not supposed to yoke up with those who are wrong on the matter of getting people saved. So that's the doctrine of separation. Now then, those six things we're not supposed to yoke up with. Unbelievers, unrighteousness, darkness, Belial, infidel, or idols. Now in verse number 16, look at it. There's some things that God does for you if you don't yoke up. He says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, notice now, he said, I will dwell in them. That's the first thing he said. You behave yourself and I'll dwell in you. You separate yourself and I'll dwell in you. Then he says, and walk in them. Or walk with them if you please. He says, this is what I'll do for you. Thirdly, he says, I will be their God. Fourthly, they shall be my people. And then he says down in verse number 17, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That means you can come to God if you separate yourself to the throne of grace, and God will receive you in fellowship with him and in prayer time. And then in verse number 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. And that does not mean that you become a child of God by being separated. It means that God will treat you as a father treats a child in the relationship of a father-child, in the manner that a father would treat a child. Now, a father offers a child several things. He offers a child protection. He offers a child provision. And several things. He offers a child guidance. And God said, you do those six things, and I'll do these six things. Now, don't leave me. I want to talk to you very frankly tonight about this matter of separation. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help me to help my dear people. And I pray you'd help us to realize we're not of this world. We're called out of this world. We're not to walk the same cadence this world walks. We're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us tonight to see the doctrine of separation in its truth and in its light. In Jesus' name, amen. The great battleground today is the battleground of separation. We have in this age of ours a conservatism that knows no separation whatsoever. You talk like the world, you sing like the world, you dress like the world, wear your hair like the world, act like the world, live like the world, and yet go to church on Sunday and believe the Bible as best you can and study the Bible, usually not the King James Bible, but the great battleground is the grand battleground of separation. Now, let me make it very plain. First Baptist Church of Hammond makes no apology whatsoever for preaching the doctrine of separation from the world. No, God's people not supposed to drink liquor. No, they're not supposed to drink martinis. No, they're not supposed to drink beer. Oh, you sever the house, that you are peculiar. That's exactly what God said I'm supposed to be. He said we're supposed to be a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. God's people are supposed to be peculiar. I want to be peculiar in this baby-killing generation. I want to be peculiar in this lottery generation. I want to be peculiar in this adulterous generation. I want to be peculiar in this playboy philosophy generation. I want to be peculiar in this homosexual generation. I want to be peculiar in this males wearing earring generation. I want to be peculiar in this males marrying males, or its marrying its, if you please. I want to be peculiar. That's what I want to be. And being peculiar is just being what America used to be before young folks got here. And so I make no apology whatsoever. First Baptist Church is an old-fashioned, old-time religion, blood-washed, blood-bought, narrow-minded, hellfire and damnation, Bible-preaching, separated, New Testament, independent, indigenous, and all those other big words, Baptist Church. Now, God is very plain. He tells us what we're to separate from. He says, in the first place, separate yourself from unbelievers. Now, what does that mean? That means you're not supposed to yoke yourself up in any endeavor with an unbeliever. Now, again, may I say, the nicest folks in the city of Hammond ought to be First Baptist Church of Hammond people. The most honest people in the city of Hammond ought to be the people sitting in this room right now. The hardest working people in the city of Hammond ought to be the folks sitting in this room right now. Nobody ought to accuse us of not paying our debts. Nobody ought to accuse us of not paying our rent on time. Nobody ought to accuse us of not being hard workers. Nobody ought to accuse us of being dishonest. I'm saying, they criticize us for that. I stand condemned. But let me say this again. This church is a citadel here on this corner for separation from the heathen, pagan, godless world. Now, unbelievers, that means this. That means that a Christian person is supposed to be nice to an unbeliever, but you're not supposed to go in business with an unbeliever. And anybody that goes in business with an unbeliever is in direct contradiction and disobedience to the blessed Word of God. Anybody that marries an unbeliever, you have a yoke there. You pull the same yoke. You parent the same children. And you're not supposed to yoke yourself up. You're not supposed to marry an unbeliever. Now, if you're not going to marry an unbeliever, you shouldn't date an unbeliever. And God said, be separate from unbelievers. That means that you shouldn't belong to the same church with unbelievers. That means you shouldn't belong to a church that doesn't preach salvation by grace through faith. And so that's what God said. I didn't say it. God says it. God said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, secondly, he said, don't be yoked together with unrighteousness. That means anything that's wrong. I'll go into that after a while. Then he says, don't be yoked together with darkness. That means somebody doesn't preach the truth. Somebody preaches one of these new counterfeit Bibles. Somebody that doesn't preach salvation by grace through faith. Somebody that says you get your sins absolved and you go to the priest. Not supposed to yoke up with people like that. Somebody says that take the sacraments, you can go to heaven when you die. Now, that's heresy. That's darkness. Jesus says salvation is not in an ordinance. Salvation is not in a priest. Salvation is not in a preacher. Salvation is not in a baptistry. Salvation is not in a communion table. Salvation is not in a wafer. Salvation is not in confession. Salvation is not in confirmation. Salvation is in a personal acceptance of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary and a total reliance upon Him to take you to heaven when you die. Now, God says, you're not supposed to yoke up with unbelievers. You're not supposed to yoke up with unrighteousness. And not supposed to yoke up with darkness. Now he says the fourth thing. You're not supposed to yoke up with Belial. Or worthlessness. Or laziness, if you please. God said, don't run with a lazy crowd. Don't run with young people. Hang around them all. Do nothing. Don't run with that crowd. Run with young people that get up early and work hard. Run with young people that go get a job somewhere, and they're the best for workers on the job, and they're honest, and they stay busy, and the boys mow the yard for daddy, and the girls do the housework for mama. And I'm not kidding either. I'm dead serious about this. It's as much a sin to be a loafer and not a worker as it is to drink liquor. God expects His people to be hard workers and diligent and honest and expedient and punctual. And God said, don't run with the other crowd. Be separate from the unbelievers. Be separate from unrighteousness. Be separate from darkness. Be separate from worthlessness or laziness. And then he said, be separate from the unfaithful. Now, what is that? Infidel. That means infidelity or unfaithful. You shouldn't be running around with folks that are not faithful to church. Your best friends ought to be folks that come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You said, Brother Hiles, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, fortunately, you're not the preacher here. I am. And I'm saying that you're supposed to be... Now, I'm not saying we ought to be unkind to anybody. We ought to be kind and gracious, and ladies and gentlemen, to everybody. But as far as our yoking up is concerned, our dating, our marriage, our business, our yoking up is concerned, we're not supposed to yoke up with people that are not faithful, and, of course, especially faithful to the house of God. Then, he said... Don't leave me yet. I haven't got this introduction. In fact, I'm almost halfway through with the introduction now. He says, don't yoke up with idols. Now, that means false religion. That means anybody that teaches that you get to heaven any other way than trusting Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Hiles, I don't believe the Baptist way. I don't either. I believe the Bible way. You say, I don't believe, Brother Hiles, I believe the Catholic way, the Presbyterian way. What you better do is believe the Bible way. And the Bible says there are none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved except the name of Jesus. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting
everlasting life. The Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So what's God saying? Be nice to unbelievers, but don't yoke up with unbelievers. Be nice to unrighteous people, but don't yoke up with unrighteous people. Be nice to people that don't preach the truth, but don't yoke up with people that don't preach the truth. Be nice to people that are lazy and useless, but don't yoke up with people that are lazy and useless. Be nice to people that are unfaithful, but don't yoke up with people that are unfaithful. Be nice to folks who teach false religion, but don't yoke up with them. I'm saying be courteous and kind and gracious and friendly and nice, but don't yoke up with them. You say, for the house, I don't see it. Well, it's right there in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Get your Bible, read it for yourself. Now then, God says, I'm going to give you something in exchange. Hey, I like this. I may get happy after a while. I love what I'm going to say right now. God said, I'm not going to leave you just there with nothing. I recall years ago, my aunt and uncle, Aunt Jimmy, Uncle Harvey, they're very wealthy people. They were multimillionaires. Uncle Harvey loved me like I was his own son. He had me in his will. And one day he said to me, he said, son, I don't know who loves me because of me or because of my money. I don't know if I have any friends or not. And I said, uncle, I want you to know you have one friend. Am I in your will? He said, you sure are. I said, take me out. I want you to know you got one friend. You know what he did? He took me out. He died, didn't leave me a dime. He thought I was serious about that. But Aunt Jimmy said one time to me, she and her daughter Dorothy, they said to my mother, said Costell, that's mother's name, and said to Costell, said, Jack doesn't drink, does he? And mother said, no, Jimmy, he doesn't drink. And Aunt Jimmy said, and Jack doesn't smoke, does he? And mother said, no, Jimmy, he doesn't smoke. And she said, Jack doesn't go to movies, does he? And she said, no, Jack doesn't go to movies. And she said, Jack doesn't dance, does he? That's round or rectangular or oblong. That's the dish rag twist, the boll weevil wiggle, whatever it is. And she said, Jack doesn't dance, does he? And mother said, no, Jimmy, Jack doesn't dance. She said, Jack doesn't go to the nightclubs, does he? Mother said, no, Jack doesn't go to the nightclubs. And Aunt Jimmy shook her head and she said, poor Jack. Poor Jack. That's the way folks look at us. Folks look at us and they say, those poor people don't even get drunk and have knockdowns and dragouts. Those poor people don't even go to the movies and watch people beat each other in the brain, but their brains fall out. Those poor people don't even get high on dope so they don't know where they are. Let me tell you tonight, I promise you this. There's more laughter goes on right inside this room than goes on all the nightclubs, the movie houses, and the hell holes in all the Calumet region. Now, I'm telling you, Jesus doesn't say, come out and just sit there and just live a dull life. He doesn't say that. He said, I'm going to give you something in his place. Now, he gives you six things in his place. First place, he says, I will dwell in you. That's pretty good substitute. Then he said, I will walk with you. Then he said, I will be your God. Then he said, you shall be as my people. Then he said, I will receive you. And then he said, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Now, folks, you get over here and take a hangover after a night out on the town. And over here, go to the hell holes, the Hollywood movies, or bring them into your house, or watch them on HBO or Movie Channel or Showtime, whatever it is. And over here, all that filth and garbage and swapping wives and swapping husbands and living like barnyard animals. And over here, you got the great Jehovah God who said, I'll walk with you everywhere you go. Now, brother, I know a good deal when I see it. I mean, I'll trade a hangover for walking with God and God walk with me any time of the day or night. I'm saying God says, I want you to come clean. I want you to be separate. But I want to tell you, you folks that don't agree with me, I dare you tonight to come to this church 1 year or 1 month, and you'll find a bunch of happy people. We don't have hangovers, bless God. We don't swap wives, bless God. We don't watch the whores and whoremongers and the Michael Jacksons and the princes and the Madonnas, bless God. But you know what God has done? God said, you give this up, and I'll come over here, and I'll give you this. Now, I want you to notice. This is interesting. There are six things we're supposed to give up. And there are six things he gives us back. Six things. You give up number one, and I'll give you this number one. You give up number two, and I'll give you this in the place of number two. You give up number three, and I'll give you this in the place of number three. You give up number four, and I'll give you this in the place of number four. You give up number five, I bet you're glad it's not 144, and I'll give you this in the place of number five. You give up number six, and I'll give you this. Now look at me. First place. Look, listen to me. He said, first, I will give you my companionship if you'll give up unbelievers. That's what he said. He said, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he said, you do that and come over here and separate yourself from this unbelieving crowd over here, and I will give you my companionship. Now listen to me. You got a choice, Michael Jackson or the living God. You got a choice, a mortal Elvis Presley. And you've heard me say this. I met Elvis Presley one time in the Stoney Hotel in Dallas, Texas. I said, Elvis, I said, are you saved? He said, yes. I think he was. I said, why are you living like you're living? He said, because I wanted to be free. He said, Jack, where's your car? I showed him an old blue Plymouth out in front. He said, that's mine over there. He showed me a big old long car worth $100,000. He said, who drives your car? I said, I do. I ride it. I drive it. He said, that's my chauffeur out there waiting. He said, how much did your suit cost? I said, $37.50. He said, the suit I got on, a green satin suit, cost over $1,000. He said, where'd you buy your suit? I said, Jacques Pinay. I'm waiting. Which is French for J.C. Penney. I said, J.C. Penney. He said, I bought mine at the most exclusive men's store in Hollywood. He said, now, who's got the best life? Hey, Elvis, wherever you are, how about now? I'm still preaching, having the time of my life. I mean, I'm trying to tell you folks that Jesus is the answer, and separation is the answer, and giving up the world is the answer. And God said, I, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the I am, the way, the truth, the life, I, the omnipotent, all-powerful God, I will fellowship with you if you will leave your unbelievers for fellowship. Now, I'm not very smart, but I know a good deal when I see it. Some of you folks criticize, and you should, criticize Esau. What a sorry deal he made. He gave up his birthright for a bowl of chili. Now, the birthright meant the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah. Over here, the hungry, exhausted Esau took a bowl of chili. He gave up his right to be in the lineage of the Messiah. That isn't all. He gave up his right for a double portion of the inheritance. But that isn't all. He gave up the right to be the priestly rights for the family. Those things. What do you get for that? He got a bowl of chili. You see a bowl of chili for the right to carry the seed of the Messiah? A bowl of chili for the right to have a double portion of the inheritance? A bowl of chili for the right, for the priestly rights of the family? You say, what a sorry deal. Not near as sorry as you people that haven't given up the unbelievers of this world and the crowd of this world for the fellowship with God Almighty. Let me tell you, brother, here's the thing about it. You folks that say, I just don't believe that. It's because you don't know both sides. You haven't been saved yet. You don't know what it's like to be on our side. We've been on both sides. We know. You haven't tried our side yet. I'm simply saying that the happiest folks in this world are the folks that walk with God, and God said, come clean and be separated. And he said, leave the unbelievers, and I will be your companion. Secondly, he said, you give up your unrighteousness, and I'll be your protector. He said, over here, you've got your unrighteousness. Over here you got your movies. Over here you got your mixed swimming. Over here you got your running around half naked, lying on the beach. Over here you got your cigarettes. Over here you got your dope. Over here you got your rock music. And to save my life, I don't understand how any decent, patriotic American can do anything but detest rock music. Brother, if illicit sex is wrong, rock music is wrong. And if dope is wrong, rock music is wrong. Have a rock concert down there in the Hammond Civic Center, and you drive by there and see the police force that's out there. And you let our young people have a meeting down there, and you don't have to have anything but a custodian. I'm saying rock music is straight out of hell. That's what I'm saying. And every adult in this country room tonight knows it, but you haven't got the courage to fight it. Some of you politicians run on a campaign of anti-rock music. If you're against dope, be against rock music. I think I'll run myself. I'm running right now for head of our house. I'm second place. But I'm gaining ground. There's one vote against me and the other vote is undecided. Praise God. God comes over here and says, okay, your name is written in heaven. You're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. You're justified. Okay. Now he said there's something else. I want you to separate yourself from the unbelievers, and I will be your companion. And then he said, I want you to separate yourself from unrighteousness, and I will be your protector. Now, you may not need a protector, but you get as much trouble as I get into, you're going to need a protector. In fact, every Christian has a guardian angel, but in the last 5 years, God has given me a guardian angelic platoon. But God said, choose unrighteousness or choose me as your protector. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand why anybody would turn down Jehovah God as his companion and as his protector for the world's garbage and filth. I don't understand that. When a person is saved, his position is stable. But his relationship to God is available. When I got saved, my name was written in heaven. My sins were removed from my record as far as my accountability is concerned. God said, I will not impute or record any other sins against your record. It's against Jesus' record. Now, I may punish you for them on earth, but as far as your standing with me is concerned, Your record is spotless. That means when I got saved, my name was written in heaven, my sins removed from the record, my sins will not be imputed, and I became a child of God. But my relationship is only available. My standing is stable. I am saved, and you can't take it from me. My name is written in heaven, and you can't take it out. My sins are blotted out, and you can't write any against me. God's cared for all of that. But my relationship with him depends on whether I am separated from the world or not. So God says, you separate yourself from unbelievers, and I'll be your companion. And God says, you separate yourself from unrighteousness, and I'll be your protector. Third, he says, you separate yourself from darkness, and I'll be your God. How does that mean? The word God means immutable, eternal, and self-sustaining existence. There is a person who is immutable, who is eternal, and who is self-sustaining. And that's our great God. And he says, I offer you to be your God if you'll separate from darkness. Then he said, number four, he said, if you'll separate from Belial, I'll treat you like one of my people. What are God's people? He said, if you will not run with the lazy crowd, the indifferent crowd, the crowd that wants a check rather than a job, he said, you separate yourself from that crowd. You separate yourself from that crowd at school that won't study. You separate that crowd at Howells Anderson College that doesn't shoot baskets all afternoon and then make decent grades. You separate yourself from a crowd of Howells Anderson College or Hammond Baptist Schools that are lazy, hang around, go down to the shopping mall and hang around with all the other people, not worth anything. He said, you separate yourself from that crowd, and God said, I'll treat you like you are my own people. Number five, he said, you separate yourself from infidels, and I will receive you. Now listen carefully. God said, you separate yourself from infidels, and I will accept you when you come to my throne of grace. And you can talk to me personally, and I will listen to you, and I will honor your prayer, and I will hear your prayer, and I'll answer your prayer. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand you people that are not separated. I don't understand it. And you know what? You're miserable. Right now, you're frowning. To look at you bothers me. You say, Brother, how does it make you not able to preach? Oh, it helps me preach. I just thank God I'm not like you are. I'm praising God right now. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The most miserable wretch in the world is a fellow who's been saved and washed in the blood, but hobnobs with the world's crowd. I was out at a business place not long ago, and a fellow said something to me that's interesting. He said, Reverend Hiles, he said, your folks are the most honest people who trade with me. He said, if we have a job opening, we'd like to hire your people because they work hard. By the way, I saw an ad, and quite often I do it, but I saw an ad the other day in the paper, the classified section, said apartment for rent, prefer Baptist couple. Guess what church I bet they were talking about. But this fellow said to me, he said, Reverend, he said, I don't believe what you stand for, but don't change. I said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, I'm not a Christian, and I don't like your preaching, but don't change. I said, why? He said, because if I ever do decide to be a Christian, I know where I can go. Okay? God said, he said, if you will give up your infidels, I will receive you at the throne of grace. Now, folks, you understand what God is saying? God is saying, as a Christian, you have a choice. You can run with the unbelievers, or you can have God's companionship. You can run with the unrighteous, or you can have God's protection. You can run with the infidels, or God will be your God and receive you at the throne of grace. Brother, I'll tell you what. I want to keep the way clear, the throne of grace. I want to be sure that God hears me when I pray. I want to be sure that I can get through when I need Him. And brother, if I do that, I've got to be separated from the world. These guys on the platform here, my fellow workers and others are not here, like Brother Moffat, who's home unseparated tonight watching a movie. I promise you, if you came to our staff meetings, you'd hear more laughter than they have at the Masonic Lodge meeting. Though I've never been to the Masonic Lodge meeting, I have no plans to go. But you'll hear more laughter and more cutting up and more fun and more dirty, more fun than you'll hear. Now, I don't like you two guys sitting together. Come over here and sit over here. Some of you folks sitting there saying, boy, this is strange. And we're sitting here looking at you saying, you strange. You ever dawn on you when you're at the zoo looking at the baboon? He thinks you're as ugly as you think he is. in Jesus today. The sins I've committed are all in the past. They've all been forgiven. And he holds me fast. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. I don't need the world's garbage to make me happy. I don't need to get high on liquor. I'm high on Jesus. I don't need to get high on dope. I don't need to go to a rock concert. Give me Rock of Ages left for me. I'll be going tomorrow morning to Knoxville, Tennessee. I'll be preaching tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, Tuesday night, in Knoxville area. I was there 2-3 years ago, and I got up early and caught a plane at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was going to getting on the plane early, and I was singing, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad. And I was singing. And the stewardess said, it's awful early in the morning if you be singing. She said, you must be happy. And I said, congratulations, ma'am. The happiest person ever got on your plane just got aboard. I went and sat down. It was early in the morning, back in the days when they had smoking and no smoking sections. I was the only person in the no smoking section. There were 20 people back there in the smoking section. They were in a tour group. You think it's not hard to do all the no smoking on a big jet plane by yourself? You try it sometime. I was doing every bit of the no smoking on that plane. I was doing the work of 100 people. The stewardess came by and I was still singing. She said, mister, what kind of music is that you're singing? I said, there's a welcome here, a welcome here. There's a friendly welcome here. She said, you tell him I said, don't walk out again, would you please? Okay. She said, what kind of music is that? And I said, it's rock and roll. She said, rock and roll? I had never said that before. I said, yes, ma'am, it's rock and roll. She said, sing me some of that rock. I said, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. She said, sing me some of that roll. I said, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. She laughed and she laughed. And she said, the song you were singing when you got on the airplane. She said, sing me some of that. And I taught it to her. She sat down. I taught it to her. I got the Bible out and told her about Jesus and how her sins could be forgiven. And she got saved, and I kept teaching her songs, and we sang together. And then she said, oh, my, the pilot just said we're coming in for a landing, and I haven't served the liquor to the folks back in the smoking section yet. Look at me, folks, carefully. You want to see it over here? Huh? You just saw the happiest person you ever saw in your life. And I've never yet smoked a cigarette in all my life, and I'm 113 years old. I've never taken a drink. The last movie I went to was Tom Mix and Gene Harlow back in the post-antediluvian days. Another dispensation. I wouldn't have gone that, but she made me go. If she ever tries to make me go again, I'm going to beg her not to take me. I don't know what a nightclub looks like. I've never tasted a martini. I fly on airplanes 200,000 miles a year. I've never taken a drink of any kind. I've never danced a step. And yet, I am as happy as a June bug on the last day of May. Now, you listen to me. God knows more about happiness than you do. And it's not Jack Hiles that said be separated from the unbeliever, it's God. And it's not Jack Hiles that said be separated from unrighteousness, it's God. And it's not Jack Hiles that said be separated from darkness, it's God. And it's not Jack Hiles that said be separated from Belial, it's God. And it's not Jack Hiles that said be separated from idols, it's God. And it's not Jack Hiles that said be separated from infidels, it's God. Now your issue is with God. God says we're not supposed to yoke up with unbelievers or unrighteousness. He said if you don't, he said I'll be a God to you. I'll treat you like a father should treat his children. I'll be your protector. I'll be your companion. Now that means You got rock music over here for God's protection over here. That means you got soap operas over here for God's protection over here. You say, Brother Hyatt, what's wrong with soap operas? You don't need to ask me that. Everybody here that's got an IQ of 25 or over knows what's wrong with soap operas. And that includes most of the bass section of the choir. That means you got movies over here, or God's protection over here. That means you got a tavern over here, or God's protection over here. You got tobacco over here, or God's protection over here. You got cursing over here, or God's protection over here. You got mixed women over here, or God's protection over here. You got the whores of Hollywood over here, or God's companionship over here. You got the drunkards and the addicts and the alcoholics and the thieves and the liars over here, or God's companionship over here. You got the perverts and the queers and the harlots over here, and God's protection over here. You got the rebels and Christ rejectors and liberals over here, and God's protection over here. You got companionship with whoremongers versus God's companionship over here. You got companionship with the Michael Jacksons over here, and that crowd, or the Madonna crowd, the Rolling Stones, the abortion crowd, the pacifist crowd, the communist crowd, and the baby killers crowd over here, and God's communion over here. You got unfaithful people over here versus God hearing your prayers over here. You got running around with lazy people and loafers over here versus God hearing your prayers over here. You got sluggards over here versus God hearing your prayers over here. You got running around the crowd that won't work over here versus God hearing your prayers over here. You got folks that get their government checks and don't want work over here versus God's protection over here. You got the kids that hang around the malls over here and didn't get nothing but trouble, and God's protection's over here. You got running with spoiled brats over here, and God's protection's over here. You got running with young people that have no responsibility over here, and you got God's protection over here. You got John MacArthur's and Chuck Swindoll's and Norman Vincent Peale's and Robert Shuler's over here, and you got God treating you like a father and you being his child over here. You got the NIV Bible over here, and God being your father over here. You got the ASV Bible over here, and God being your father over here. You got the RSV Bible over here, and God being your father over here. You got the New King James Bible over here, God being your father over here. You got the New Scofield Bible over here, or God being your father over here. You got the American Bible Association, American Bible Society. Over here, you got God being your father over here. You got the Reader's Digest condensed version over here, our God being your father over here. You got the New A version over here, our God being your father over here. You got the Goodspeed version over here, our God being your father over here. You got the Amplified version over here, our God being your father over here. You got the Good News for Modern Man over here, our God being your father over here. You got running with those that don't believe in the virgin birth over here, our fellowship with God over here. You got those that don't believe in the sinless life of Christ over here, our God treating you like you're his child over here. You've got the fact that the liberals don't believe in the vicarious death over here, and you got fellowship with God over here. You got folks that don't believe in the bodily resurrection over here, and you got fellowship with Christ over here. You got folks that don't believe in the premillennial pre-tribulation rapture over here, and those that and fellowship with Christ over here. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if this whether the issue is the Bible. That's the issue. The politician. The issue is not right to life. The issue is the Bible. The issue is not casinos. The issue is gambling. Hey, if gambling is wrong, and they'll arrest folks for gambling in their houses and basements, why don't they go across the street and arrest folks in the Catholic Church to play bingo? I mean, if gambling's wrong, gambling's wrong. If it's wrong to gamble in your basement, it's wrong to gamble in the church fellowship hall. If it's wrong to gamble in your basement, it's wrong to gamble on a boat in the lake. If it's wrong to gamble in your basement, it's wrong to gamble in the lottery. I said it's wrong to gamble in the lottery. Now the issue, brother, is this book. That's the issue. And this book says we're supposed to be a separated people. I do not care if I'm called a fanatic for the way I preach tonight. But I don't want to be hated because I don't pay my debts. I don't mind being a fanatic because I'm separated. But I don't want to be hated because I'm not an honest man. I pay my bills. I pay my bills on time. If I say I'm going to be somewhere, Brother, if I tell Miss Hiles I'm going to be home by 4:30, I'm not home at 4:31. I'm home at 4:30. If I tell you I'll meet you somewhere at 5 o'clock, I'll be there at 5 o'clock and not 5:01. I'm saying God's people ought to be honest. We ought to have integrity. We ought to have character. We ought to have punctuality. We ought to have industry and be the finest citizens, the finest, most... By the way, you won't ever catch me getting a ticket for speeding unless nobody's watching. You follow me. You follow me down Sibley, I go 35 miles an hour, not 36. If I go down Kane, that's 25 miles an hour, I go 25. If I cross the street and go down to Fayette, it's 35 miles an hour in Fayette, I go 35. I turn right on Calumet, it's 25 miles an hour. That is the dumbest, most idiotic thing I've ever... 25 miles an hour on Calumet Street between here and and Highland. But I go 25 miles an hour. I don't go 30 miles an hour. I go 25 miles an hour. Why? That's the law. I go to the airports 55 miles an hour on the Chicago toll road. By 294, is it 294? On 294, I go 55. Jack Scott here says hitchhikers can make it to the airport faster than I can. But the speed limit says 55. I go 55. I'm saying I believe that God's people ought to be the best citizens, law-abiding citizens in the whole area. But brother, we're not supposed to yoke up with unbelievers, unrighteous, darkness, Belial, infidels, or idols. We're supposed to be separate from the world. I'll close with this. I made a statement from this pulpit on Wednesday night recently. That if I died tonight and went to heaven and talked to Jesus, I would not say any more to him tomorrow than I have today. I have talked with him. I have said more words to Jesus today than I have said to any other person at all. I want his fellowship. I want his fellowship, his protection, his care. I want his companionship more than I want anything in the whole world. But I cannot have it unless I obey 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you folks are looking to me at night like you're to zoo. You look just as funny to me as I look to you. If you ever have been to Lincoln Zoo and what's the other zoo? Brookfield Zoo. And you've seen all of that, then go to a state university. Same thing, but they're not in cages. I am in a mood to preach till midnight. I do not understand the character in America that has gone bankrupt. I drove by that school up there on Lyman Avenue, that junior high school up there the other day on the way to work. Folks, it's unbelievable what they wear to school. Unbelievable. Whatever happened to ties and coats and whatever happened to propriety? Listen carefully. I drove by that school up there the other day. I saw, and by the way, they're using my money to pay for it. My money. I saw females, you could see their underwear. Their skirts were so short. I saw females in short shorts. I saw females in pants so tight that if they breathed out real hard, the button would come off and kill three people in front of them. I saw males, you couldn't see their faces. The last thing I saw like that was our dog Fritz. The schnauzer. But our dog Fritz was more proper than those guys I saw going to that school up there. You say, Brother Hines, you are old-fashioned. Thanks. I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw T-shirts on girls that they've been wearing since they were two. And then I went down to City Baptist, same day. Our bus kids school. Our Chicago ghetto school. Not Hammond Baptist, not children of our deacons. The children of the ghettos and the gangland in Chicago. And I walked in there, and there they sat in the class. Every boy had on a white shirt and a tie. Every girl had on a modest length skirt. Sweet smiles like the smiles of the 50s. Modesty like the modesty of the 40s and 50s. Yes, sirs, and yes, ma'ams, and kindness and respect for authority. And I said, thank God for the old-time religion. I was in the Philippines. I was over there studying where Paul wrote that book. I was in the Philippines preaching. Back in the mountains of the Philippines, and also in the city of Iloilo, where I was preaching also. And I drove back in the mountains. We'd pass by schools in the Philippine Islands. And I'd see the students as they were getting out of school. Not one pair of pants on a girl. Not one pair of shorts on a girl. Every girl that walked out of the school had on a decent length skirt. Had uniforms. Every boy had a haircut. Looked like America 50 years ago. And I saw those clean cut. You go down the streets of Iloilo, the only body you'll see in shorts or pants are Americans. You were there, Brother Ray. You remember. And I asked myself as we drove out in the mountains and saw that, I said, just which is the third world country? Just which is the third world country? Let it be known now and forever that the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana is the hardest working, most honest, cleanest, most decent, friendliest people in this area. But let it also be known that we believe this book. And we believe this book teaches separation from the world. And we believe it when it says we're supposed to be separated from unbelievers and unrighteousness and darkness and Belial and unfaithful and idolatry. To that end, we put our stake in the ground. And to that end, we say we believe in separation. Now tonight, I promise you, there is one little step that will make your life rich and full. And that step is you take over here and just leave the unbelievers as far as yoking up. And God says, you get me. I was thinking about that. Miss Hiles was very popular when she was a girl. She was very beautiful, as she is now, but she is a very beautiful young lady. Boys were clamoring for her. But one day she separated herself from all those boys. And look what she got. What a deal. What a deal. Praise God, you decide to separate yourself from the counterfeit of the devil, and God will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll give you His protection, His companionship, His fatherhood, His godhood, and you will know the joy that you've never known in your life before, and then you can enjoy coming to hear me preach. Father, I'm going to quit. I don't want to. But I'm going to quit. I pray you'd help some of our people to get the idea tonight. I pray you'd help them to realize the wonderful, wonderful benefits of separation. Sure, we're giving up something like cancer. Sure, we're giving up something like AIDS. Sure, we're giving up something like tuberculosis. Sure, we're giving up something like pneumonia. Sure, we're giving up something like scarlet fever. And we're getting fellowship with God, protection by God, His being our God, hearing our prayers, us being His children, and Him treating us as a father should treat the children. Our heads are bowed.